he's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to today's Monday. It is Monday, October the 25th. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson. We got CFA Barry Kite on board, and it's the Best Stocks Now show.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Coming at you live. And, well, you know, it started off pretty flat. We're gaining a little steam here right now with the Dow up 33. But I think more notably than anything is it's a new all-time high, 35,709, closing in on 36,000. And the NASDAQ is up 41 right now, 15,130. PayPal and Tesla, the big movers there on the NASDAQ, and it's closing in on its all-time high. The S&P 500 is hitting a new all-time high. 4,549. It's up 5 points today. The Russell 2000 is up 3 points to 2294. There's no stopping crude oil. I'm going to go over that story here in a bit. Crude is up $1.22, $84.98. We're paying about $3.25, $3.19 in our neck of the woods as it continues to go higher. Pinching the wallet a little bit. Gold up 14 to 18.10. The 10-year, actually it's coming down 3 basis points today. It was a bad week for the bond market last week and anything interest rate sensitive. 1.63 today, down 3 basis points. And Bitcoin is getting its mojo back. Bitcoin got to under 60,000 over the weekend. And look at today, up 2,600 to 63,179. That's where Bitcoin is. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show. You've got a professional money manager behind the mic today, Bill Gunderson, 21 years as a professional money manager. And you've got Barry Kite, chartered financial analyst. He's real good at picking apart the details in stocks, and he's also a certified financial planner. That's a pretty good combo there, Barry. That comes in handy here at our firm, and I put you to use a lot, obviously. Well, let's see. Where did we end up? On Friday, the Dow was up 67. The NASDAQ, however, was down 124 on Friday, and that's where we ended off last week. I would say that the NASDAQ was mostly, Intel had a big influence on the NASDAQ. Snap was down 30% last week. It got clobbered. And Facebook was under some pressure last week.
And Snap, I think, was the big story because you know, you had a slowdown. And I think we wrote about this in a couple of the articles in terms of, you know, some of these social media companies, right? They're going forward, their earnings were going to be on based on how quickly they could kind of overcome those new iOS updates. And, you know, and frankly, I think Snap even admitted, I just don't think they invested enough money to overcome it. And it showed in the earnings.
Yeah. And this week we'll have 124 S&P 500 companies. That's 1/4 of the S&P 500. That will be reporting earnings this week, and a lot of tech companies. Nothing really big tonight. The biggest one will be Facebook, which will be interesting to watch because, like, you know, the way to overcome bad publicity and selling and pressure and is earnings. And we'll see. I would expect Facebook to report a pretty good earnings quarter for the last quarter. And we'll find out after the close of the market today. They are pretty much the big earnings report. So far, 85% of the companies reporting have beat expectations. There's that sandbag effect that there's no question that these companies sandbag the analysts, try to tamp down and keep the earnings estimates tamped down. so that they can beat. But, you know, I mean, they come in and they beat by 2 or 3 cents. So the analysts are usually pretty darn close to these earnings. The Trump SPAC, let's check in on DWAC, which was the story. It was the story stock of last week without question. I mean, the thing was up 1,200% at one point for the week. DWAC right now is pretty quiet, actually, by comparison of last week. It's at $96 a share. When I mentioned it on Wednesday, it was Wednesday, it was about 15, something like that, and went to 97. There are two other stocks, too. One's a Chinese stock. I just have no interest in Chinese stocks. But the CEO, apparently, of DWAC, there's another SPAC that he's also going to be the CEO of. Now, they don't have any business yet. We don't know what their business is. But there's a link between him and the Trump stock. And the symbol of his stock is BENE. BENE. And I'm seeing it kind of light up the board a little bit today. It was 12 this morning. It's 16 now. And I bought it just a little bit this morning when I read that news before the open of the market. So I disclosed that. Not enough shares to really, you know, change much in my life. But
you're still coming to work tomorrow.
Yeah, I did buy a little bit of BENE, which has the same CEO as that DWAC, which was Digital World Acquisition. And I did, you know, I did take Saturday off. I got the newsletter out Friday pretty early, and I did catch a nice 27-inch, about an 8-pound redfish.
Nice.
On light tackle, you know, in very shallow water, maybe 5 to 8 feet, just up here on the Wando River back in one of the creeks. That was a lot of fun. And I threw a shrimp net for a while out in front of Shem Creek in about 30 feet of water. That is a lot of work. I got soaked. I was worn out. My back ached when I got back. And got some big shrimp, not a lot, but some really big shrimp that made some good shrimp tacos on Sunday. These guys next to me, they're throwing a 20-foot net. They throw a perfect circle. And they get like, you know, 200, 300 shrimp. on a throw.
Right.
I need a younger guy. I'm putting out an ad, somebody to go shrimping with me. I'll watch the fish finder because you see him on the fish finder. And then I'll tell you when to throw the net, okay? So any volunteers? Maybe your kids,
yeah,
Barry.
Bulls Bay. Hey, Bulls Bay is a pretty hot shrimp spot.
Oh, man.
So a little further over there. Yeah, you got to get a little further over there from where you were at Shrimp
Creek.
Okay, but
we'll go Saturday. Okay, let's see the oil prices. We've got to mention that. Ninth straight weekly gain. Nine straight weeks. Now, how you go from having so much oil in the world that the price goes negative 18 months ago to now the storage tanks in Oklahoma are running out of oil is beyond me. It doesn't add up. Stockpiles at the Cushing Storage Hub, which we talked about last week, the biggest facility in the U.S., are draining to critically low levels that could push crude prices even higher. So they're obviously, they're engineering this. I believe this is all engineered to drive oil and gasoline prices up. And that's exactly what is happening. And, you know, these experts that follow the oil markets, they say global oil inventory levels remain tight as demand growth remains firm. Here's the problem. Production growth lags. We're not producing oil like we were before. And David Martin tells Bloomberg the oil market is correctly pricing in very tight conditions and conditions that will get tighter. So it's not the demand, the problem, too much demand. The problem is in the production area of the oil, okay? Democrats near deal on social spending, paving a way for infrastructure. We made a very large deal last week. I mean, if if you're just an analyst watching the market and you apply the earnings to a multiple and come up with the target price for the S&P 500, we've had to keep that scenario, which seemed pretty likely, that there would be a big corporate tax hike, which would take a bite out of earnings. And Manchin and Sinema killed that last week. And so that will not be part of the package, and that's good news for the macro outlook of the S&P 500. Now they're talking up this unrealized gain issue, taxing unrealized gains, but right now the $3.5 trillion is down to about a $2 trillion package. We'll talk just a little bit more about that taxing unrealized gains when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Keit. Welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. And, yeah, I mean, that's really, it's hard to even comprehend how you would tax unrealized gains on assets.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like carried interest, I guess, but not really. What happens if it goes down the next year? Do you get a credit back? Like, I mean, you know, it's... And they're going to game it, right? I mean, it's been gamed in the past, right? That's kind of how carried interest got created in the first place. The trick is all the billionaires that are going to be paying, right? Most of those are probably on the Democratic side in terms of, go through the list.
Yeah. It's just, I just can't even comprehend what that would look like. Okay. Yeah. So we got two opinions on inflation today. I mean, two very well-known people that carry a lot of weight. One says not so bad, and one says hyperinflation. Janet Yellen, she says that the U.S. is not losing control of inflation. However, you know, they're now looking to midway through next year before it starts to moderate. Okay, that's definitely a new outlook. When we had the Fed chairman, Jerome Powell, saying, probably about this time this year, it will start to ease. Instead of anything, it's getting a little hotter. And so now she's saying, middle of next year. Okay. Now, on the other hand, you've got Jack Dorsey, who is Square and obviously Twitter. He warns of hyperinflation. The CEO of Twitter and Square jumps into the debate on the rise in prices. He says hyperinflation, this is in quotes, hyperinflation is going to change everything. It's happening. Jack Dorsey tweets, it'll happen in the U.S. soon, and so the world. Dorsey replies to response. To another reply, he says, it's not a wish, and nor do I think it's positive at all. He just thinks it's going to happen. So anyways, there you go. I mean, there's two. You got one. Yellen is getting more hawkish about inflation, no question about it, saying it's here with us until middle of next year. And Dorsey saying that hyperinflation. What is hyperinflation? Give us a definition, Mr. CFA, on hyperinflation.
Yeah, it's inflation on steroids, basically.
Yeah.
And it's also, by definition, outpaces growth. Just take Argentina's always been a great example over the years. Use Argentina and some of the unrest that they've had from year over year in the past, and you know they want to get paid in dollars because of the fact that they didn't know how much currency their currency was going to be worth the next day.
Right. And one of the One of the most infamous examples of hyperinflation was the Weimar Republic in Germany, where, you know, it took a bushel basket of money to buy a little tiny bit of wheat.
Right.
That's what hyperinflation is. So,
and it's a problem for the administration, which is why, you know, I think is probably why you hear, you know, Yellen continually to mention it. Of course, gas prices, I mean, that translates directly into a lower approval rating.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of. I took a picture of a pump. I got gas this weekend, and there's a sticker of Biden on there that's pointing to the price that says I did that. So if you have something that's going on like that, I'll shoot you the picture a little later.
Yeah, I've seen some of those.
That's a problem. I mean, it's just. You don't have to go too far back in history. We can, with Carter in the 70s, right?
Yes.
With gas lines and everything else. You don't want to get back to that. Especially when you have enough resources.
And even worse, a little guy like me with just a little center console fishing boat, I can't carry 5-gallon jugs down to my boat, which I keep, you know, on or near the water here. I have to stop at a marina and fill up. $5. Same gas, without ethanol, $5. So a little boat like mine, you know, is like $250. tank. If you got one of these big double engine models with that holds like 1500 gallons easily, you're talking $7,500 to fill it up. So
that's
the fishermen,
that's their biggest cost.
The fishermen are really upset. I can just tell you that. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? Strong consumer and rising corporate profits will support the stock market. Okay. What is that saying? That is saying that the number one indicator in the stock market for me, and at least this firm, Miller Howard Investments, is earnings. Corporate profits. Corporate profits. Rising corporate profits. And what makes companies have rising corporate profits? Well, I can tell you a strong consumer is a big part of that. And that continues, okay? And that's part of my macro outlook. I was at a function on Saturday night, and I met a guy. He's a retired lieutenant commander in the Navy. And he learned what I do, and he says, I'm really worried about the stock market with inflation and everything. I said, well, at the end of the day, it comes down to earnings. And that's why the market was even able to sail through the COVID and a shutdown in the economy and go on to hit new highs. And it's all about the future expectations of those earnings. Now, inflation, if inflation's going to have an impact, it'll impact the consumer. And the consumer, it will weaken the consumer, and that will then show up in earnings. It all leads to earnings. Remember the saying, all roads lead to Rome? Well, I think in the stock market, all roads lead to earnings. And that's why these 124 companies that are reporting this week in earnings, their earnings reports is going to be very, very critical. And I did a major update on Friday in my newsletter. If you didn't get it, you go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And I just got rid of scenario number two for now about the corporate tax hike because I think that's out of the works for the next couple years anyways. I also updated based on the companies that have reported so far. And, you know, the multiples remaining about the same, Barry, because the interest rates are remaining about the same. If we saw a giant leap in interest rates, then we're going to see a contraction in the multiple. So if you want to see, I've been right for 12 years, okay, since earnings bottomed in 2009. That's when I really started tracking S&P 500 earnings. But I did see the previous 2 years, earnings finally topped out in 2007. And 2008, the expectations were for lower earnings. That was really the precursor to the big 53% sell-off in the S&P 500, and I don't see what would happen any different this time around.
Well, in relation to inflation, a lot of those earnings have, you can tell, the earnings are good. That means those are prices and form of higher prices are getting passed on to consumers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so when we come back, we got a lot of individual stocks to talk about. That's my favorite part of the stock market. I like the macro stuff, but talking about stocks is always a lot of fun. This is Bill Gunnarsson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. The market has really kicked in since we started, and we're having some really good success today with several of our holdings. The Dow is now up 22 to 35,700. That represents an all-time high for the Dow. It's corporate earnings that are doing it. The NASDAQ is now up 69. Big move now for the NASDAQ, and I'll tell you what, the oil stocks, whew, they are on fire. I'm going to mention several leading oil stocks. It's all about tech and oil here today, and then throw in Tesla, which got an order from Hertz Rent-A-Car.
How about that? 100,000 cars.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Now, is there 100,000 stations out there to charge them? I don't know.
I did see something interesting in the article that Hertz is planning to build out their own charging network. So, I don't know if that goes into plug. You know, I don't know if plug. I haven't looked at plug today, but my guess.
Yeah, no, plug is a hydrogen fuel cell, plug.
Right? Yeah,
but the pure like Blink Charging,
Blink.
BLMK,
yeah, that's the one I was thinking.
And there's a lot of them. I just don't see where that's a money making business myself. I don't see any big winners there. Everybody's getting into the charging business, it seems like. So, but anyways, I mean, now you can rent a Tesla from, and you don't have to fill up the tank. You know, on the way back
to the
airport.
Yeah, do you have to get it back to full charge before you show up?
I don't know. You'd think they'd have their own charging stations right there
right?
that they could take care of that. All right, Bitcoin makes Barron's cover. See, that's always a, that's a death nail when that happens. It used
like
to be
Madden
when
cover?
A, yeah, it used to be when an athlete made the cover or Madden. Yeah,
yeah.
They had their worst year ever after that.
Right.
Magazine cover indicator fans may have at least a short-term sell signal for Bitcoin after the rallying crypto does a star turn on the weekend's Barron's cover. The article was somewhat skeptical of the Bitcoin ETF excitement. But they said, it doesn't really track Bitcoin. No, that's no big deal. It's still going to go up, that ETF, BITO, with Bitcoin. And that, of course, is not stopping Bitcoin today. It's moving higher. More hackers, the same hackers that went after the SolarWinds attackers, now targeting the supply chain. Okay, that's all we need. The supply chain already has enough trouble, but Nobelium, they're the gangsters that were behind the SolarWinds hack in late 2020. That was the biggest hack of all time. And Microsoft, some people blame Microsoft. CrowdStrike kind of blame Microsoft, but Nobelium says they are now going after, and there's evidence that they're going after the supply chain. Okay, the big stock of the day for me right now is PayPal. We own PayPal. I just think it's a fintech stock and a disruptor in the banking industry and the credit card industry. And of course, there was that rumor going around last week that they were going to merge or buy Pinterest, which I never did see. I kind of doubted that story because. Well, there's no synergy, really.
It doesn't seem like there would be, would there? Besides the fact that you got to pay if you buy something on Pinterest or whatever, right? You got to pay somehow, I guess. But I mean,
I couldn't see it. And PayPal went down pretty hard for a couple 3 days, and I actually bought some for new clients that have joined us mm-hmm. recently. I look for entry points into stocks that we already own. I don't buy them on day one when you come here and open an account with us. And I bought some PayPal when it was getting smacked because it you know, you've got the FANG stocks, which are four or five stocks. But if you go out to the next ring of stocks, that's where Tesla and PayPal and Square, and they're every bit as potent as the big FANG stocks, if not more potent than the FANG stocks, because the FANG stocks have gotten so big, it's a little harder for them to grow as fast. But that next ring out there that includes PayPal, Square, Tesla, a lot of other stocks, probably, CrowdStrike and Cloudflare and just big dominant tech stocks. PayPal is definitely one of those. And it just seems like any time there's a sell-off in those stocks, it's a good buying opportunity. And that was my thesis on PayPal, and I bought a little more PayPal. And today they denied the rumors on Pinterest.
Yeah, they were. I know they were up about 6% earlier. In this week we've got a huge. You've hit on it. The number of tech earnings. I mean, we got Facebook today, but tomorrow we got our one of our favorites, AMD. We got Microsoft tomorrow, Twitter tomorrow, Google tomorrow, aka Alphabet, and then Apple and Amazon later in the week.
Yeah, for me, the semiconductor sector, you saw what Intel did last week. That was the stinker report of the week, along with probably, of course, Snap, which has never made money, and IBM, which is one of the and AT&T, the biggest dogs of the Dow. But it's dominated. The semiconductor sector is dominated by AMD and NVIDIA. Those are the mm-hmm. two that really are the growth giants of today. And then as far as the equipment companies, you know, that ASM lithography pretty much is the big player there. And it just seems like all the other chip stocks have kind of become also RANs. While these are dominating the headlines. Okay, we talked about Tesla. Oh, and Pinterest is getting smacked today.
Yeah, no, they were down 10% or so earlier when I pulled them up.
Yeah, they're down 14% right now, and Pinterest was a pretty hot IPO that, you know, it's not it's okay. It's a $32 billion company. But that's not going to work out between PayPal and Pinterest. And, of course, Tesla's hitting a new all-time high today. You always got to be on Tesla. Look at that. Look at that. Again today. You know, I picked a pretty good buy point there in Tesla. I'm just congratulating myself.
Yeah, I just think it's impressive because, it's like you said, it's one of those things, you never truly been sold on, but then, After doing research and finally it's like, hey, you know what? Let's hop on it. And it's been a great entry point.
You just can't justify the valuation, but then again, you can't deny the momentum. And it's up hitting a new high again today. It could hit a trillion today. It's at 957 billion today. You're 43 million away from a trillion. I can't do the math, but if it went up another $5 a share or something like that, it's at a trillion. I don't know. I can't. Yeah, I don't know how many shares there are.
My calculator doesn't take that many zeros.
No. Yeah, we're getting into trillions now. We used to think billions and billions. Yeah, who was the guy, the science guy, that said billions and billions?
Right.
Now it's trillions and trillions.
I need a calculator that they have in D.C. I imagine they must have one up there that goes to a trillion.
Yeah. Okay, Facebook stock, how's it doing today? Because they're going to report earnings later in the day here after the close. It's flat. It's sitting right on its 200-day moving average. Okay, the oil stocks that are in play right now. Oh, my gosh, look at this. Occidental Petroleum, OXY. That has a chart like PayPal. I mean, like Tesla. Look at OXY's chart breaking out to a new high. OXY. Okay, you can look at EQT. which is EQT Corp, which is exploration of oil and natural gas. It's breaking out. It's up 4%. You can look at Marathon, MRO, today. That's a breakout. It has a similar chart to Tesla. Now, isn't that interesting, okay? That's the irony of ironies right there, that the electric car stock is breaking out to new all-time high, and so are the oil stocks.
Well, yeah.
Okay, go figure.
Well, when it makes it, you know, and like you said, as oil prices go up, it makes, you know, solar and renewables, right, more attractive,
yes,
because of cost benefit analysis.
Tesla is a what do you call it? That's the way to play rising oil costs.
Yeah, it's a pure,
right?
Because they're highly correlated. Yeah, they're highly,
yes,
correlated, and of course it's a pure play. Plus they have a solar area, right? Battery,
yes,
storage.
Yeah, they own Solar City. So your,
yeah,
hedge against rising prices in oil: number one, buy some oil stocks. Number two, buy some buy Tesla. All right, when we come back, I'll try to nail her down maybe two or three more that we'll talk about that are having a pretty good day here today. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. And I sent my newsletter. I met a guy over the weekend that he's a retired lieutenant commander in the Navy. And he was asking me, well, aren't you worried a little bit about the market? He's listened to Bob Brinker. Bob Brinker's been on for years and years and years. He had a Sunday show. I don't know if he does it anymore. And he's a market timer, Bob Brinker, like myself. But, you know, just macro market time, not in and out nine times during the year. You know, I've been a bull for the last 12 years for the most part. But at some point in time, the market, the earnings growth of the S&P 500 will eventually start to exhaust itself. It just can't go up forever. We don't know what will cause it. It could be any number of things. And the estimates going forward will start to be lower. In other words, an earnings recession for the S&P 500. So that's one of the things I'm on the lookout for all the time. And I do my own math on the 500 S&P 500 companies, and I look at the consensus of others out there. And for me, I mean, you know the call I made back in March of 2020, Barry. I said the market is now looking ahead 2 years. It's not looking at today's COVID numbers and the number of people dying and all this in the economy. It's looking ahead 2 years, and here's what it sees. And I was within 4 days of the bottom of the market. So, you know what?
And that's our five-year price targets. You know, I mean, look, you know, having those, I think, was a very beneficial during that time. Because, you know, I think I said, hey, I don't know what Apple's worth, but at worst, let's just turn our five-year price target into a six-year price target.
Right,
and,
right. And just write off 1 year.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a write-off.
Still not a bad, a bad return whenever you're – And, you know, whenever you're shooting for, you know, shooting for those five-year numbers that you want to see.
And most investors are looking at today and tomorrow and yesterday. The market is way ahead of you. I mean, the guys at Fidelity and Vanguard and, you know, all these big Goldman Sachs, they're looking ahead 2 years from now. Not at today, not at yesterday. That's what the market trades on. The market trades on anticipation. Expectations. And right now, I mean, that's the macro outlook is very important. So if you can look, you didn't get my newsletter over the weekend, you can go to GundersonCapital.com. We made a few new buys last week. You can see those too. GundersonCapital.com. Okay, the oil stocks definitely are jumping off the page here today. And just some leaders that I already mentioned, I would also mention APA. That used to be Apache Corp. I don't know. It's APA now, but their website is apachecorp.com. That's hitting a new high today. Callon Petroleum, CPE, is up 7% today. And, you know, it's funny because they're kind of in a real sweet spot right now in the supply-demand equation. Here you've got all of this demand and the production cuts are happening through regulations and whatnot. And that's driving oil prices higher. And that's what they produce as a product. They produce oil. And when the price of your product is going higher, you definitely can pass higher oil prices on to customers. That's easy to do. We don't have any choice. And it still costs the same for a Callon Petroleum or an Occidental or to get oil out of the ground, right? That didn't change. And, of course, they have a lot of inventory, too. And when the oil prices are going up, I mean, they just benefit all the way around. And like I say, one of your best hedges for paying $5 on the water to fill your gas tank on your little boat, or three or five, whatever you're paying at the gas pump, your best hedge is buying the oil stocks themselves. There's a lot of ETFs. There's an unleaded gas ETF that's hitting a new high today, UGA. There's a oil ETF, pure oil ETF, which is USO, which corresponds to the spot price of oil. And eventually, I mean, it's going to come crashing down, but everybody I'm reading, even Joe Biden, says no hope for lower prices until 2022. And he doesn't say when in 2022, the end of 2022, late in 2022. Even Joe Biden is saying that oil prices are going to continue to go higher. Okay, another interest rates and hyperinflation and all this talk, the banks are the direct recipient. That was a great sector last week, the bank stocks. I'll just mention one today here, First Bank Corp, FBP, which is hitting a new high. They reported earnings today. It's highly ranked in my app. And it has strong momentum. It has a chart like Tesla today. FBP is a bank stock. And I think that's going to be about it for today. The other two stocks that jump off the page today are Tesla number one. I can't argue that that's not one of the strongest charts and stocks in the entire market. It seems like everybody's getting on the bandwagon on Tesla. All right, well,
we have everyone better get on the bandwagon, especially with gas prices doing.
Yeah, yes, and they're going to make it very hard on you to own a combustible engine in the future. I mean, just about every state, you know, every car company. GM's not even going to make combustible. Volvo's not going to make. And is this going to turn around and backfire on us? Pardon the pun. It very well could, but that's the state of things right now. Okay, if you'd like to set up an appointment, people can talk to you, Barry.
Ah, yeah, doing it every day. Enjoy, yes. and would love to hear from you guys.
And put your experience, put his experience to work for you in a plan. But you know, we're always watching the backside. After me, a guy who's been through a couple of big bear markets, I'm watching those earnings forecasts and I'm watching those charts daily. Very, very vigilant. That's one of my big passions of what I do. We have a great staff that can help you move an account from somewhere else or whatever the case may be. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. And if you just want to, you know, dip your toe in the water, you can look at our newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. I put that out every single week. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.